Solar panels for consumer use have been long thought of as an option to explore for personal energy needs. Not too long ago, California, no surprise, became the first state to institute solar panel mandates on new homes. Massachusetts is now in the process of following that lead, while the other state legislatures are thinking it's a good path to travel as well. Do solar panels live up to the promises? Is it a convenient cost to deal with? Joining us to talk about this is policy analyst with the Institute for Energy Research, Jordan McGillis. How are you today, Jordan?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
The website, learn more about this and other related issues, instituteforenergyresearch.org. So explain to us what these, there's two bills in Massachusetts that are under consideration going through the process. Most people think it's going to be a foregone conclusion, but what are they calling for and mandating?
The essence of the bills is that new construction, new homes in particular, would require solar panels to be included in the building and the initiation of that project. And as you mentioned, this has been instituted in California as well. There are some big differences between those two states, but there are some big similarities as well. The differences are geographic. There's much better solar resources in California than in Massachusetts. The similarity is that you've got really high real estate prices in both places, and this is definitely not going to help.
Yeah, I mean, it's costly enough to just even rent and live in Massachusetts, to try to find a home and normal cost as they are. To just add to that, what are the expected cost of a solar system if you're doing a build right now? Have there been estimates made about what this adds to the cost of a new home?
California has looked into this a lot more. In fact, the California Energy Commission, which is a state-based organization that was evaluating their policy, it estimated $8,000 to $10,000 of new costs on a new home. So we're talking about a significant amount of money that is definitely going to impact who can and cannot buy new or build something. This is discouraging investment in properties. This is going to increase the cost. There's nothing good about this. And it's honestly, it's a real property rights issue. This is an infringement on the disposal of your rightfully owned property.
How important is it to recognize, too, that a solar system, let's just use a $10,000 cost for the sake of easy mental math, a solar system does not instantly pay for itself. It takes a lot of years for you to catch up to the point of a break-even.
That's certainly true. We're talking about very small incremental savings over time as a result of having those panels on your home or on your building. And another element here is that even though it may be saving the entity that owns the property with the solar panels money, it actually is imposing costs on the grid widely. Solar panels are not necessarily a positive for the electricity grid because of the intermittent nature of solar energy. In California especially, we're seeing this situation in which the state is actually having to pay other states to take their solar energy because there's so much of it in the midday heat that they simply can't accommodate all of it on the grid. So there are costs that come with solar energy as well. It's not a pure benefit.
I hear about, you know, mandates overtaking the rights, or as I refer to it in the introduction, as an option. I keep thinking, too, does somebody somewhere along the line see this as a money grab in some way, shape, or form? Is this not just promoting but shoving down people's throats an industry which has seen job loss recently, has seen complaints because of faulty installations? It's an industry with a lot of questions and challenges it's been facing and not really answering on its own rights.
Well, certainly. There's a term we like to use in the free market world, bootleggers and Baptists. And that refers to the coalition that was built during the Prohibition era between illegal alcohol producers and the Baptists, the religious group that was opposed to alcohol being publicly sold and consumed. So there's this odd alliance of the religiously devout who wanted to stop people from pursuing a certain activity, and then the people who would benefit, the bootleggers, from the policy that was imposed. We're seeing a similar thing here with various energy mandates. We have the borderline religious environmental groups that have their own motivation for these policies, but then we also have the business entities that seek to reap those rewards of the policies that will impose costs on others.
Well, with Jordan McGillis, who is a policy analyst with the Institute for Energy Research, instituteforenergyresearch.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Polling is adding confusion to the debate because, by and large, solar panels superficially are a popular idea. Some polls have up to a 70% thumbs up. What is it that the presentation is making people believe the most that is not really factual to cause that kind of popularity?
Well, one thing that we mentioned earlier is that utilizing solar panels on your home, particularly with the various incentives that states have in place, will ultimately save you money. But that's largely because of the way that the states are structuring the payment that homeowners would get from their contributions to the electricity grid. There's this term called net metering, and what that refers to is essentially how much a solar producer will get paid for the energy that they're putting onto the grid. So rather than the utility paying what's called the wholesale price to a power plant for a kilowatt of energy, it is paying the retail price to the solar rooftop owners. So when their meter runs with energy going to their home, they're, of course, paying for that electricity. When it runs the other direction, they're being paid essentially the same amount for that energy. So they're actually being paid more than an actual power plant would for the same increment of electricity. And that is one of those imposed costs that we're putting onto the system. So you're getting paid more often than a typical power plant would, and that's part of the advantage of solar panels for the homeowner. I'm certainly not saying that someone who owns a home shouldn't think about that opportunity, because it actually can be profitable, but I'm completely opposed to mandating that people be required to put them on new homes.
This whole discussion, too, that takes place about solar energy, solar panels, sort of glosses over a couple of facts. First, production of solar panels, the hardware, had created more greenhouse gas than it prevented, but the industry had promised that by 2020, the two levels would be even, which doesn't even sound like a benefit as it is, but be that as it may, are there any studies to show that promise about 5 years ago, I guess the industry made it, is indeed going to be hit by the year 2020?
Well, I'd like to flesh out your point there about the emissions. There's actually a lot more to the production of solar panels than people really have taken into account, and a big part of that is mining. There are a lot of metals and various rare earth components that need to go into the production of solar panels, and much of the world's market is actually controlled by the Chinese. So by investing further in solar, by mandating the building of solar, we're actually handing over a critical part of our economy to a government that is not exactly friendly to our interests. So there are some big considerations to be taken into account here from both a geopolitical perspective and also just an environmental stewardship perspective. It is not the case, as you mentioned, that the use of solar energy has no cost. There are some significant environmental costs, including the mining necessary for the production products used in the solar panels, and then also pure land use. Solar panels, especially the large industrial arrays, take up a lot more space to produce energy than the comparable amount of energy would require from something like a natural gas plant.
Having seen that firsthand, we have a local community college which decided to go solar. They basically had to give up a parking lot worth of space for the sufficient number of solar panels.
We're actually seeing some very ironic situations in Florida, where I believe it's Chase, a local entity of the larger Chase Bank, is cutting down trees to put in solar panels. So it's totally undermining the alleged purpose of the solar panels, which would be to reduce the concentrations of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. When you cut down trees, you're eliminating a sink for those greenhouse gases. So it's totally self-defeating.
Well, as they say, it may sound like a good idea, but the devil is in the details, and the details paint quite a different picture than the presentation, does it not? Learn more about this issue, about solar panels and other energy issues. The website for the Institute for Energy Research is a place to go, instituteforenergyresearch.org. We've been speaking with one of their policy analysts, Jordan McGillis. Jordan, thanks for being here today.
It's been my pleasure.